Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Business Aspirin. I'm your host, Clint Janelle. And today I have with me my good friend, Chad Turquette, out of Cumming, Georgia, with Water Removal Services. Chad and I have known each other about a decade, I think, now. Something like that. Chad, how you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good, dude. It's good to have you on. I'm glad that you're here.
It's a pleasure to be with you, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you jumping on. We'll just kind of jump into it. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, you've got Water Removal Services, and you guys do fire water restoration out of an area just a little bit north of Atlanta. And so tell me exactly where you are. For those that don't know, you're where in Georgia?
We are located just right off Georgia 400, which is about 45 minutes north of the perimeter of Atlanta. And we're in a little city called Cumming, Georgia.
So you're just kind of outside that hectic, crazy part of the Atlanta metro area.
That's correct.
Yeah. And so let's talk about how you got into restoration. Like, how did that develop for you to get into the restoration space?
Absolutely. So my family, you know, owns a big septic tank company here locally. And back when I first started, you know, we would go out to jobs and whether we're, you know, meeting for a repair, or if it was, you know, septic tank backing up or whatever, we would, you know, go out and I would see that and I would go, wow, what are these people doing to, you know, clean up what they, you know, that's in their basement or in their homes or whatever the case may be. So I kind of started looking into that, didn't really know anybody that did that, but once I started looking into it, there was, you know, several companies here locally that did it. So that's really how it started, is just going and seeing this on a firsthand basis, with the septic tank company. And here we are, you know. I started working for a local company here for a couple of years and then started going to work for a larger company that was doing a lot of traveling and you know, storm work and things of that nature. You know, once I started having kids, I wanted to be home and be a little closer to homes. I started Water Removal Services about 13 years ago, and you know, it's been going strong since.
Yeah, that's kind of a unique story, honestly, Chad, in terms of getting into the space, is that you were partly aware of the industry and somebody that would do that, or at least a need, and partly unaware. And you just saw that there was something that needed to be accomplished for these people that were having an issue, and not just you as a septic tank company going in and mopping up their floor and then walking out. It was like, there needs to be something bigger than this.
Absolutely.
Who does this? What is it? And that's really kind of how you got into the restoration side of things.
That's 100% correct.
That most of the time, what we hear is, someone that's an entrepreneur in the restoration space grew up in and around the service industry. In some cases, in most cases, they were doing some carpet cleaning or something, working for a carpet cleaning company or working for a restoration company when they were younger. And that's how they got into the space. So yours is unique in that, like, you were, you know, necessity breeds all kinds of innovation. And that was partly what you were doing, is going, hey, there's something that needs to happen here. And you were trying to come up with something new to address something for your customers in order to help them and serve them in a different way.
Absolutely.
That's pretty impressive. So then you started Water Removal Services about 13 years ago, you said?
Yes.
And it's you and a partner, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. And what spun the, like, why did we go about, hey, I'm just going to start my own thing? What, you're going to start to have kids? Like, what was the thought process there?
Well, I was working for a local company here, great company, and he just decided to close the doors and sell all the assets. I didn't have much of a choice. It was either now or never, and that's exactly how it started. I mean, I learned a lot from traveling with a lot of the bigger companies. I was working for a local company here to get closer to home. Great company, great owner. The leadership was phenomenal. And learned a lot and still talk to him on pretty much on a monthly basis. And he basically, before 3 months before Christmas, said, hey, I'm shutting the doors. I'm paying you to the end of the year. And you guys need to find something else to do. And I said, it's now or never. So I started, bought a truck, some equipment, and just started running the day-to-day projects myself until we got to the point to where we could, you know, start hiring some people. And that's how it started.
Yeah. So a couple things that kind of similar to my story. How old was your youngest?
So at the time, I had a 7-year-old. And, you know, obviously in the meantime, I've had two other kids. I've got three boys now, 22, 10, and 7. So, you know, I wanted to start something new, something for my family, and here we are.
Well, and that's one of the things I want to touch on too, is was probably going to be a little later in the conversation, but let's talk about the entrepreneurship side of things and family. And restoration and family. Restoration is a hard business. It requires a lot of, you know, if you're doing cat work, working for a large company and you're chasing storms, you're gone a lot. If you're doing your own thing, you may be working a lot. But let's talk about how owning your own restoration company, doing your own service business, what are the pitfalls of that and what are the benefits of that?
Well, you know, obviously when my wife and I first started dating and she saw that I was traveling all the time. So, I mean, the work-life balance is huge starting off in any business, any relationship. So, I mean, she saw that balance had to be there, and I wanted it there as well. So, you know, you just have to learn to you know, delegate, you know, set boundaries for yourself, for her, for myself. And just be in the moment, fully present whenever you're, you know, with your family. You know, that's the hardest thing in this business, just because you can never plan for it. And, you know, I saw that was a big issue moving into this role is finding that work-life balance. And when you are with your family, your friends and things of that nature, you have to be present. You have to be 100% in and attentive to their wants and needs and things of that nature. You know, so that was, you know, that was really hard for me to really understand first starting off. You know, you're not going to be perfect. It's never going to be perfect. But at the end of the day, you know, when you do have the time, you really have to be there for your family and set those boundaries early, so everybody knows what to expect and not to expect.
Sure. And this is a conversation I have on a regular basis with people we have on the podcast, is that, you know, it's difficult because the phone can ring at, you know, 6 p.m. on a Friday night when you're supposed to be headed to dinner and you have to go to work.
Yeah.
And setting that expectation with your family and then setting that expectation with your company to understand, hey, there's times I'm not going to be available, is imperative. Because especially when you first start off, Chad, right now I got to take this job and I'm the one slinging fans. I'm the one sucking up this water and I got to go do this because this is what feeds our family. And you Absolutely. Have to make sure that you're taking care of that. And then as you've developed and you've grown, you guys have gotten better staffed and you've had some success. Then now you sit in a place where it provides you some freedom to go to baseball games and go sit at the field, watch Absolutely. Baseball on the weekend and not be so stressed about having, do I have to respond? Or like, there are times in my life where you had to take two vehicles, right? Hey, just in case I got to go work. We got to take
that two. Is true. That so, is true. And it really depends on, you know, you got to have a good team behind you, and which we do, but you know, when somebody's, you know, off work or has a vacation or whatever the case may be with your employees, we still do it. I mean, I did it last weekend for a baseball tournament. You know, my wife was driving her car and I was driving my truck. So just in case, you know, something came in and I needed to respond to. So, you know, you have to be available and, you know, but you do have to have that work-life balance as well.
Yeah. And in your case, your family's grown up this way, right? This
That's
is kind
correct.
Of what you know. And so it makes it, you know, unique to kind of make that work. Let's talk about, you know, as you guys have grown and you've got a team that can handle some things, you've certainly had to implement some systems and some processes to allow you to be able to have that freedom. So let's talk about you know, what's a process that you've implemented that's allowed you to grow and then allowed you some freedom?
Well, you know, I think having a job management system, you know, which we use JobDocs for that, to help with the streamlining, the scheduling, the documentation, the communication between everyone involved in the claim, I think that's huge. You know, it reduces a lot of errors, helps with response time, and it helps, you know, keep everybody accountable for what they do and don't do. I think that's precedent right now to have something like that in place to, you know, keep tabs on everybody if there's a communication, you know, so everybody knows in real time what that looks like, you know, because as we all know, these jobs change by the minute, by the second, and things can get sideways really quickly. So I think having that job management system moving forward is huge.
Yeah. And I think that's important that, like, whether it's job docs or something else, right? It's
absolutely
the ability to be able to check on your projects and see what's happening. And like, for me, the number of times I've been at a hockey game with my oldest or a baseball game with my youngest and answer the phone and be able to put a job in and assign guys to a project without having to call them at all, like just let the system do what it does, has made my life way better.
Yes.
And seeing that they're responding and knowing and going and communicating with the customer just all in real time makes my life way better from that perspective.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you can send a job through the job management system and you see all the everything coming through, the text messages, the emails. So you know right then, real time, that everybody is involved and who's involved. So if there is a direct question that needs to be answered that, you know, we may not have at that point in time, you know who's on the job, you know who's working, you know what's going on, you know what their hiccups are along the way. So I think it's huge to have a, you know, whether that's job docs or any other ones that are out there, you know, I think it's precedent to have that moving forward, you know, especially sure. Starting off.
Sure. And you're kind of an innovator yourself, right? Like you got into the space because you were trying to solve another problem. So you're attuned to embracing technology. What do you think the next step in technology in the service industry and restoration specifically, cool things you hear about coming out? What are some of the things that you're looking toward?
You know, we try a lot of things. You know, we've implemented obviously job docs, and we use a lot of DocuSketch as well. And T&M Pro is, we use that as well. So, you know, I think a lot of new systems, new processes that come in, we typically will try them on a smaller basis before we, put them into the market or put it into our processes on a daily basis. But there's a ton of new stuff that's coming out, that I think would be a good fit for us. But, you know, our space is a little different from the type of work that we do here. And, you know, we really have to find the right fit that works for us. I mean, we do a lot of apartment condo type scenarios here in Atlanta. And, you know, not all of the systems really are driven behind that as far as, you know, different, you know, as far as trying to think right off the top of my head, that would be one that we looked at here recently. But a lot of them don't really work for our arena. So I'd really like to see, you know, something that would be able to put multiple jobs into, you know, let me back up a little. We started with Matterport. Matterport was really good. I really love their process and what they do. But to go over a, you know, a multi-floor, you know, 10, 11 story loss, you would have to tie them all together all the way down. And whether that was going down the hallway to go down the steps, you know, the process was just not there. You know, with DocuSketch now, being able to just do each individual unit and not having to connect them all together, that was a huge win for us at the end of the day. So that's really a good example that I've really seen that DocuSketch has really done a good job on moving forward, is being able to document those spaces without having to connect all those together.
Yeah. And, you know, we use DocuSketch pretty regularly. I have the Matterport cameras. I like the DocuSketch. We've had a couple of blips here and there in terms of like measurements being off at some level, but usability in the field, like so much easier than some of the other things that are out there.
Absolutely.
And I think there are guys that are stepping into the space. I know Magic Plan's trying to do some things, and they're trying to get it so you can walk through with your phone, and we'll see how it pans out. Right.
I really think too, you know, a good mapping system, you know, whether that's a remote type job monitoring, I'm really looking into that as well, you know, to keep the downtime of, you know, especially us being an hour away from most of our jobs, because most of our jobs are in Atlanta. Having some type of remote monitoring would be huge for us moving forward. Being able to capture that on a real time, I think would be useful for us.
I think if they could, like, inherently for me, and this is outside of just the entrepreneurship side of things, but I think the problems I have with the remote monitoring side of things is it's, what do I monitor? Do I monitor the wettest spot, or do I monitor the spot that's just above dry standard and watch it dry? Well, then do I know what happened? And do I have to have 700 little pins to poke in somewhere to monitor the whole thing? And then did that really save me any time? Or is it like, it's just the concept is spectacular.
100%.
The implementation is like,
is going to be difficult.
It's hard. Yeah. Okay. So that area got dry. Is it really dry? No, it's not really dry. So I need to go check to make sure it's really dry anyway. And then if I really got to go check to make sure it's dry, then why did I have this remote monitoring system in here? It'll come around. Right, they'll be able to figure some of this out as they go, but there's going to have to be some baselines established on all of that. But
yeah,
absolutely. You know, I'm interested in some levels in like the AI side of things. Like, of course, you probably have seen like Game Changer, for instance, baseball. What's interesting to me in Game Changer is that, as you know, for instance, as Corbin's playing a game, somebody's pushing the buttons of the plays that are taking place to score the game. At the end of all of that, it creates this full narrative of what happened during that game. And so I've talked to Mark several times, and Tyler and I and the team are working through, okay, can we create that same Game Changer type of summary? So your team, you know, call comes in. It's like, hey, call came in at this time. It was this type of loss, and navigate the next step. So then so-and-so clocked into the project at this time. They were there on site for 6 hours. They set this piece of equipment, and it creates this full project summary narrative without you having to type that executive summary narrative. So some of those things are cool, man. I'm intrigued by technology, and unfortunately, my mind thinks faster than anybody's ability to develop. And sometimes it's way ahead of what is actually even capable, but all that stuff's catching up, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So it's great.
I think AI is going to be a huge asset. You know, once they figure out the logistics side of it, I think will be huge for, especially for our market and our space.
Sure. And it's not perfect yet. Like, there's still inherently some problems in it, but I think it's coming. Like, I mean, truthfully, the majority of the population was unaware of any usability of AI until a year ago, roughly, something like that. And that's the correct. Leaps and bounds that it's made in that period of time is spectacular. So
absolutely.
I'm interested in it. Let's talk a little bit about, on your end, about, you know, team building and hiring and pain points and things of that nature. So how many guys do you have now currently? How many employees you guys running?
So we run pretty slim. So we have 12 guys on staff, you know, 3 trucks. I think the biggest thing for me is in team building is just the worth ethic, the integrity, and first and foremost, attitude. You know, the technical stuff we can teach, we can put them in class, we can have class, but you can't really teach anybody to care. And, you know, that really is really helped us grow over the past. We don't hire a lot of people. And we've only lost 2 people since I've started. So a lot of the same people that have been with me from day one, have been with me now, and still now. You know, I have a couple new guys now, but, you know, our biggest thing that we really build off of is just, you know, do it the right way when nobody's looking, you know, is kind of my word of the day is just do what's right. whether, you know, I'm there, somebody's there, the homeowner's there, the building owner's there, or not there, do what's right when nobody's watching. So that's something that you really can't, you can't really teach. That's just something that comes in that, you know, you either have it or you don't. So we really look into the, you know, the work ethic, the integrity and the attitude of people when they come in, you know, when we go to hire. I think that's that is really huge for us and our way of doing things here. And I feel like that's probably the top three things that help us grow and move forward and get good people in. And when we get them here, you know, we don't typically lose them. We pay That's great, very dude. Well and you know, we try to give our guys as much training as we possibly can. We actually just built a classroom here at the shops to where we could do some live training here at our office, which I think is going to be beneficial for us moving forward and collecting, you know, good quality people to work for us.
Yeah. Well, I love that point where you said, like, you can teach people the technical side, especially in the restoration space, but the culture, you can't, I mean, you can show them what your culture is, but if they're not part of your culture naturally, it's really tough to bend somebody into that. And that makes it difficult to run a business.
100%.
So we're pretty clear up front when we talk to people, like, this is who we are. You know, there's an American flag on my shoulder. Why is there an American flag on my shoulder? Well, because I'm proud of my country. You know, there's that reality of this is who we are as an environment and where we operate from. And I think it's way more difficult to be in a position where you bring somebody on board that just because you need a body and then they're not the right fit for you. And then both of you are miserable. And why make both of you miserable? Well, let's be successful in that. So I love that you said that, because yeah, you can teach the technical side of things. Somebody yeah. taught us the technical side of things. So, I mean, if I can learn it, I mean, anybody can learn it. So, I mean, clearly that's an easy part. So I love that. Let's talk about, like, what's the biggest challenge that you've experienced in these last 22 years? I think you said that you've been in the restoration. What's the biggest challenge you've had to navigate, and how did you navigate it?
As far as a business standpoint, you know, is growing when you can need to grow. You know, I know cash flow is always a huge deal for me at the end of the day. You know, because when we typically get called here in Atlanta, you know, it's me, you know, it's my money. I don't really have a lot of open lines of credit to run larger projects. So I think the biggest thing for me is cash flow. Starting off, you just, you know, put money back in the business to get going. And, you know, if you're starting, you know, build it as you can, you know, put, you know, buy new equipment, buy some stuff as you can. You know, don't go out and just buy everything under the blue moon when you first start. You know, reach out to people in your market. You know, that was a big key for me when I first started, was finding people in the market that can help you. You know, as far as equipment rental companies, you know, assets too, as far as equipment, whether that's, you know, what you call it, the, oh man, I'm drawing a blank here. But equipment companies that'll help you out when you have a larger loss. You know, when I first started, I had 5 DHUs and 50 fans and a couple air scrubbers. So when we got into larger projects, you know, I had people that would help us. You know, so I think it's finding people in your market to help you along the way, you know, to help you when you're down. You know, hey, I need some help on the job. You know, we get that call a lot here in Atlanta that we help out a lot of companies, that whether that's just they were overran, or they just don't have the labor force to do it, or they don't have the equipment to do it. So I think that's probably my biggest thing would be cash flow, you know, helping build the business and make friends with people that are in this market in your area. I mean, I know in our area, we have several people that work together and help each other a lot. If a company gets something up our way and he can't get to it, he calls me, and vice versa down on the south side of the city. So I think, you know, cash flow is really big for me personally. And then just starting off, just find people in your market that are really good help, that are mentors of who you are and can help, you know, kind of drive you and not make the same mistakes that you did or they did, you know, starting off. So I think that's probably my biggest thing is find the people that have been down this road before. And when you get a little bit of money, put it back for some of these larger projects and, you know, and to help you out
I think that's
when you
imperative
start
right there.
growing.
It's one of the things you said early in this section of the conversation was, you know, buy things when you can, and cash flow is king. And those two things are vitally important for people to understand. Because here's what I've seen. I've seen guys that have run out and, you know, they were doing $2,500 water losses, and they did a $2,500 water loss, and they got paid for that, and they did another $2,500 water loss, they got paid for that. And then somehow they wound up in a $50,000 water loss. Or a $100,000 job, and they got paid on that project, and suddenly they're, I need a new truck, right? Not a new truck for working, just a new truck to look cool in. And the number of times that people have burned themselves by getting way ahead of their skis, is how I like to say it. And as a result, they put themselves in a bind because they didn't protect their cash flow. Now they got this really nice truck, but they didn't build their business in the process to buy more equipment that they needed or get another service vehicle. They just want to look cool. And you know as well as I do in our space, sometimes this is feast or famine. I may get a couple of really big projects right now and knock it out of the park, and I may have to sit around for a little while for whatever reason.
That's
And I think
correct.
that's important. At the
Absolutely.
same time, you said build relationships, because what used to be the case was nobody wanted to talk to anybody else that did their same service because that's the competition. I don't want them to know what I'm doing. I don't want to have, you know, I don't want to show my cards, whatever the case may be. I think in a lot of cases in the restoration space, we've moved past a lot of that where people understand that these could be valuable assets. And so if you're in a situation where you got the opportunity to massive project and you've got a relationship with someone that can help that company can help you, one, complete the project, and two, endure some of the burden
That's
because they
correct.
can wait just like you can, that you couldn't do on your own. And those two things are vital, man. And I appreciate you saying that because like that's one of the messages I want to make sure gets out all the time when we have these conversations with other entrepreneurs is lean on somebody. You know, like you talked very early in this conversation, you were talking about the guy that you worked for that sold his business and said, I'm paying you out. You still have conversations with him now, and he taught you these things, and you could lean on him and you could ask questions. And I think mentors are important in every space, but in this one for sure, because there's times you're going to run into stuff that's like, and I've been doing this for 30 years, and it's the first time I've ever seen this. Okay, let's think through this. But somebody may have experienced it, and you can lean on them. And I think that's imperative to build all those relationships for that reason.
And that's true. I mean, we, you know, there's jobs that we've done that we've had jobs help on as well. You know, we had a large project in the last year that was 161 rooms that had to have power to every room. That's not something that we keep, you know, in house all the time. So, you know, bringing in a team to help with the, you know, the setup. And knowing how to run the cable for miles on upon miles of boxes and cables and you know, so even the, you know, the medium small to medium sized companies are going to need help at some point in time, and you just got to know those key opportunities to take advantage of somebody that may know something a little bit better than what you do, and bring them in to help you. I mean, I don't know that I could have done that job without them, honestly. And you know, so I think having that relationship with other contractors and other mitigation companies and things of that nature, you know, is vital getting to grow. You know, a lot of people call us and say, "Hey, we need some help with a larger project." We'll go help them. And it's, you know, it's vice versa. I mean, we, you know, I need help all the time as well. And I think you just have to swallow your pride at the end of the day and say, "Hey, I need help on this job." You know, because you do want to hit it out of the park. I want to hit it out of the park. And it's only going to reflect on you if you don't, you know, bring somebody in that may have a little bit more knowledge in something like that. So, know, something to say, just swallow your pride and bring people in that may know a little bit more about the scenario that you're in at that time. And I think that's key.
And the things that develops over time is unbelievable. I mean, one, like for instance, the Hobbs brothers that have Dalworth Restoration here in the Metroplex. We needed help on one several years ago at Southern Methodist University. So SMU had some big losses on some brand new construction, and I had a relationship with a contractor that was doing the new buildings. But it was bigger than what I had the capacity to handle. And I called them, and they came out. They brought one of their desiccants. They brought some of their crews to help set their desiccants up, and they helped us knock that out of the park. That relationship made that call made that relationship stronger. And we've been able to utilize them on some other things. They've sent me some projects. They've sent me $50,000, $60,000 jobs they just didn't have the chance to get to because we had this relationship now. Same time, I've leaned on Aaron Foreman and his group at Sunbelt Critical Response because, hey, I need two massive desiccants and a massive generator to run this particular project, and I need your guys to set up the lay flat. So those relationships are imperative in this space. And finding those connections and being able to lean on somebody is, I think, is important. So I think that's great, man.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about, like, what's your, any keys for somebody in terms of growth and marketing? Like, any nuggets of information on somebody's trying to get into the space? What's the best thing that you guys have done to acquire business?
You know, I think the biggest thing for us is in a lot of our marketing strategies has been word of mouth. You know, I think online reviews, I mean, everybody uses Facebook and all these other different avenues to try to find somebody to do work. So get people to leave, you know, some online reviews for you. And partnerships with agencies, property managers, you know, doing some smaller things like that. I mean, you know, I've built this company off of relationships and doing what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it. And word of mouth is, and I'm kind of old school when it comes to this, but word of mouth is your best advertisement. And, you know, so I've really been very big about work, you know, online reviews, you know, partnerships with people. And if you get a bad review, it's going to happen. You know, the ball gets dropped, especially the bigger you get, you're going to have issues. It's just the nature of the beast. You know, not everything's going to be perfect. And accept those reviews and answer those reviews and figure out a way to fix that. And to learn from it, I think is the biggest thing, is to not have that happen again. You know, I think, you know, starting off, you know, I would try to get, you know, some agents, property managers, and just be that, you know, even if you're second in line for that company, you know, just go in and say, hey, I know I may not be your first call, but give me an opportunity. Give me the second call or a third call. You know, I think if you go in and just and say that like that, and that's the way I've approached it, is starting off is, I don't, you know, I know I may not be your first call, but, you know, give me the second call or the third call. You know, if somebody doesn't perform or can't get to it, we would love the opportunity and build those relationships and be there for them. You know, go to some lunch or dinner or something of, you know, that nature, go to a baseball game, you know, just get out and build that relationship with these people. For me, that's worked for me. I know every market's different, but I think for me, you know, word of mouth is huge. I mean, it's probably 75% of my business is just word of mouth and the relationships that I've made with people throughout the community and being that person to, you know, take the good and the bad. I mean, you know, if you get a 1DHU job or a 1-2DHU job, it's a small job, you may not want to go do it, but it takes those smaller jobs to get to the bigger jobs. And, you know, I kind of live by that and just say, hey, you know, word of mouth is my best advertisement. Get some online reviews because a lot of people use Facebook and, you know, LinkedIn and all that. So, you know, I think having those reviews and just being there and doing what you say you're going to do, and communication with these people is huge as well.
Perfect, man. I love it. Well, I want to be respectful of your time, and we're crested the half an hour mark on the podcast side. So what is one last piece of advice that you wish you knew or that you would like to share for someone that you think is imperative for somebody that's like, hey, I'm about to do this, pulling the trigger?
So, you know, I think build a strong foundation from the beginning. You know, make the focus on the customer. You know, get the necessities that you need, the training that you need, and just do what you say you're going to do. I think having a great, strong foundation and having your processes from the beginning, you know, those are going to change as everything evolves. But I think at the end of the day, having that strong, you know, foundation right from the beginning is huge. So, I mean, to give somebody that's really looking into this business, you know, I think that, you know, be a good leader. And, you know, once you get to a point to where, you know, you do start hiring people, it's just be a good leader and don't look down on anybody. I think with me, I mean, you know, my guys all wear the same shirts straight across the board from the top brass down to, you know, the guy that's carrying the trash. You know, I think for me, if I was giving anybody some advice, is just have a strong foundation, do what you say you're going to do, and be where you say you're going to be. You know, I have a motto around here that everybody kind of laughs at me about, but I always say if I'm 10 minutes early, I'm 5 minutes late. Be on time. Be early if you can. I think just having a strong foundation moving forward and trying to have a mission of where you're wanting to go. I think just doing what you say you're going to do, the business will come.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I love it, man. What a great conversation. Chad, thank you for being on with us today.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you having us.
Absolutely, man. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.